We got out and come to go where we belong. But we never done that but the one time. After that, we always, if it was away, we'd try to get back before night come. But then that is on a Sunday, too, that we done that. Now, when we were slaves, we couldn't do that, see? Mm-hmm. And if we got free, we didn't know nothing to do. And my mother, she hunted places and bound us out for a dollar a month. And we stayed there maybe a couple of years. And she'd come over and collect the money every month. And a dollar was worth more then than $10 is now. And the men used to work for $10 a month, $120 a year, used to hire that way. And now you can't get a man for $50 a month. If you pay a man now $50 a month, he don't want to work for it.
More like $50 a week nowadays.
That's just it, exactly. They want $50 a week, and they ain't got no more now. And we had then, we had nowhere, nothing. We didn't have nothing. On it. Just like the cattle, just turned out and get along the best you could.
The number to call is 212-209-2950. For the very first time, we are bringing two WBAI listeners the voice of Fountain Hughes. He was a slave. This is not people. This isn't an actor playing a slave. This is a man who was a slave. As a child, he also talked in the post-slavery period, children were bonded out, bonded labor, which was really just about like being a slave. But when he was born and as a child, Fountain Hughes, born in 1848 or 1854, it's a little unclear, but he was a slave in Charlottesville, Virginia. I know some of y'all listening right now, you have family in Virginia or you hailed from Virginia. He was freed after the Civil War in 1865. The number to call to support WBAI is 212-209-2950. The pledge level, $150. And we will send you the CD of the audio recordings of former slaves, along with the book, one of the most suppressed stories in U.S. history, the largest slave revolt that took place in these United States onto New Orleans, Louisiana's heroic 1811 slave revolt. Very, very difficult to find. It's a book by Albert Thrasher. Albert Thrasher is no longer with us. The number is 212-209-2950. And we are offering that pack, the Onto New Orleans and the CD of audio voices and stories of former slaves. The pledge level is $150. The African Americans, Many Rivers to Cross, the two DVD set. The pledge level for that is $150. Also, Toussaint L'Ouverture, the story of the only successful slave revolt by C.L.R. James. The pledge level for that is $140. This is such important information. This is such important history. And you help to keep WBAI on the air. 212-209-2950, 99.5 FM, WBAI New York City. This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth. And on the line with me is our esteemed historian, Dr. Gerald Horn. And, you know, Dr. Horn, my grandfather's father was a slave. Fountain Hughes died in 1957. Everybody says, oh, it was so long ago, y'all. Black folks, you need to forget about it. But it wasn't that long ago. Fountain Hughes died in 1957. You know, I talked to the actor Danny Glover. He remembers about his grandmother's mother being a slave. Dr. Horn.
Well, to add to what you just said, I should mention that my father's father was a slave, an enslaved African in the state of Mississippi. And I think what this hidden history helps to bring to the fore is something that we all need to confront, something that was confronted quite eloquently by Eric Williams of Trinidad and Tobago in his epic book, Capitalism and Slavery, that was followed by Walter Rodney of Guyana in his book, How Europe Underdeveloped Africa, and then added to most recently by Joseph Nicori of the University of Rochester, right in New York State, in his recent prize-winning book on how the Industrial Revolution was based upon the backs of enslaved Africans. And I think that all of us who seek to understand how and why it is that certain countries, such as the United States, have surged ahead economically, while other countries and entire continents have lagged behind, we really need to understand the history and legacy of slavery. And I think that's why the premiums that you're offering today, this afternoon, are so utterly important.
Yeah, and Dr. Horn, if you look at New Orleans, I mean, we all remember those images from Katrina. This was a very serious revolt. They, you know, the mouth of the Mississippi, where all that cotton was going to be shipped over to Europe. I mean, capitalism on both sides of the Atlantic was really built on this trade. Also, the exploitation of some white workers in textile factories in the north and in the UK and Manchester and other places, but that was would have been crucial. And in 1811, the population of New Orleans and its suburbs was about 25,000, and 11,000 of them were slaves. I mean, these people were quite serious in not only taking New Orleans, but in freeing every slave. And Dr. Horn, one has to wonder, why is it we know so little about slave revolts and slave uprisings in U.S. history or in the Americas generally, Dr. Horn?
Well, sadly and tragically, a number of mainstream historians have sought to downplay the restiveness and rebelliousness of enslaved people in the United States of America. And this is quite unfortunate, which also underscores the value of the premiums that you're offering. I should also mention that it was quite appropriate that the largest attempted slave revolt took place near New Orleans, because New Orleans during the antebellum period was something of the Kmart of the slavery, of the slave trade. That is to say, the phrase of being sold down the river oftentimes referred to enslaved Africans who in the so-called upper north, places like Virginia or Kentucky, for example, would then be shipped to New Orleans, where they would then be sold and then perhaps sent westward to Texas, or perhaps even in the southeastern direction towards Cuba. So this is the importance, the utter importance of these premiums that you're offering.
Again, and the number is 212-209-2950. I want to make a last call for those of you who are listening during this hour for this material. We have a dollar a day pack for you where you will get everything that we're offering during this hour as a thank you gift, the Hidden History of Slave Revolts dollar a day pack, where you will get the CD of the actual voices of slaves, men who were slaves. You will also get the rare, impossible, practically to find book onto New Orleans, Louisiana's heroic 1811 slave revolt, a very suppressed story. And I agree with Dr. Horn's assessment on why these rebellions are suppressed in this country. Also in the dollar a day pack, the African Americans, Many Rivers to Cross DVD, and the book on Toussaint Louverture, who led the rebellion, the only successful slave revolt in history, defeating the most powerful army of the day, Napoleon's army, that is the Haitian Revolution. Without the Haitian Revolution, the United States would not have been able to make the Louisiana Purchase. We owe a great debt to the people of Haiti. Call us at 212-209-2950. I do want to play another clip here to hear the voice of Fountain Hughes. Again, Fountain Hughes just died in 1957, was not that long ago. Many people listening now have relatives who were enslaved. Imagine the impact on teenagers. Imagine the impact on men and women who are incarcerated right now, who are even serving in the armed forces, in our schools, the public schools or any other kind of school, whether you're in Staten Island, you're in Brooklyn, you're in the Bronx, you're out in Flushing, you're even out in Rockaway, you know, over in New Jersey, over in Newark and other places. We need to preserve these voices. We need to preserve this story. So please call us at 212-209-2950. You could get the On to New Orleans pack, which is the book and the CD, or you could get the African Americans, Many Rivers to Cross DVD, or you could get the Toussaint Louverture book. But we owe it to our children. We owe it to the next generations to keep this history alive. And you know what? If we don't do it, who's going to do it for us? If we don't take responsibility for it, who will take responsibility for it? This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth here on WBAI, also asking you to support WBAI. I want to go on now to, before we have to wrap it up, make a last call during this hour for this material. So you got to call us at 212-209-2950. Let us hear more now from Fountain Hughes. He wasn't an actor. This isn't an actor. This is a man who was a slave.
My grandfather belonged to Thomas Jefferson. My grandfather was 115 years old when he died. And now I am 101 years old.
Who did you work for, Uncle Fountain?
Who did I work for?
Yeah.
You mean when I was a slave?
Yeah, when you were a slave, who did you work for?
Well, I belonged to Burnley's. When I was a slave, my mother belonged to Burnley's, my wife. But we was all slave children, and soon after, when we found out that we were free, well, then we were bound out to different people, Thick and Andrews and all such people as that. And we'd run away and wouldn't stay with them. Well, then we'd just go and stay anywhere we could, live or night and anywhere. We had no home, you know. We just turned out like a lot of cattle. You know how to turn cattle out in the pasture? Well, after freedom, you know, colored people didn't have nothing. Colored people didn't have no beds when they were slaves. You don't slip on the floor. Tired here, tired there. Just like a lot of wild people. We didn't know nothing. Didn't like to look at no book. And there were some freeborn colored people where they had little education. But there were very few of them where we was. And we all had a jail sentence. Just same as we was in jail. Now I couldn't go from here across the street. Well, I couldn't go to nobody's house. They would have a note or something from my master. And if I had that pass, that was what we call a pass. If I had that pass, I could go wherever he sent me. And I'd have to be back, you know, whoever he sent me to. They'd give me another pass, and I'd bring that back. So it's to show how long I'd been gone. We couldn't go out and stay an hour or 2 hours or something like that. Just send you. Now, say, for instance, I'd go to the shortest place, I'd have to walk, and I'd have to be back maybe in an hour, maybe they'd give me an hour, I don't know just how long they'd give me, but they'd give me a note so it wouldn't nobody interfere with me and tell who I belonged to. And when I come back, boy, I'd carry it to my master and give that to him, that'd be all right. But I couldn't just walk away like the people just now, you know. It's what they call, we were slaves, we belonged to people. They sell us like they sell horses and cows and hogs and all like that. Have an auction bench and they put you up on the bench and bid on you the same as you're bidding on cattle, you know.
Was that in Charlotte that you were a slave? Was that in Charlotte or Charlottesville?
That in Charlottesville.
Charlottesville, Virginia.
They sell the women, sell the men. Oh, and then if they had any bad ones, they'd sell them to the nigger traders, what they call the nigger traders, and they ship them down south and sell them down south. But otherwise, if you were a good person, they wouldn't sell you. But if you were bad and mean, they didn't want to beat you and knock you around, they'd sell you to the what they call a nigger trader. They'd have a regular. I was sailed every month, you know, at the courthouse. And then they'd sell you. Maybe $200, $100, $500.
We will thank you with that CD on this as we're getting close to the end of Black History Month. That was the voice of a man who was a slave, Fountain Hughes. He died back in 1957. The number to call is 212-209-2950. We just have a couple of minutes before the top of the hour. We need to raise another $1,500. We need more of you calling and pledging at the 150 level to get the CD of the voice of slaves. These are not actors. This is the actual voices of people who were enslaved, as well as the rare, brilliant book by Albert Thrasher on to New Orleans, Louisiana's heroic 1811 slave revolt, a very suppressed story. Dr. Horn, we've got 30 seconds. We appreciate you joining us today. Amazing material.
It certainly is. And one more point that needs to be mentioned. Both Hughes and myself mentioned the slave trade, particularly sold down the river. We also need to underscore in our brief conversation the question of slave breeding, particularly in the state of Virginia, where Africans were bred like how hogs and cattle. And I don't think we can understand any aspect of sexuality in the United States of America without understanding the rather tortured history of slavery, and particularly the sexual abuse of enslaved African men and women.
Absolutely. Dr. Horn, thank you so very much for joining us, and thank you for all of your brilliant work. Thank you, Dr. Horn.
Thank you.
The number to call is 212-209-2950. I've got about a minute before we have to wrap this hour. And again, we're offering up On to New Orleans Pack, the rare, hard-to-find book, On to New Orleans, Louisiana's Heroic 1811 Slave Revolt. For the very first time on WBAI, we're offering Voices of Slavery, CD. The number to call is 212-209-2950. That the pledge level is 150. The African Americans, Many Rivers to Cross, the pledge level is 150. Toussaint L'Ouverture by C.L.R. James, the pledge level 140. We really want to thank all of you who have called and pledged. I want to hear from the Bronx. I want to hear from Staten Island. I want to hear from New Jersey. I want to hear from Manhattan. I want to hear from Crown Heights. This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth. Thank you for calling and pledging, supporting WBAI 99.5 FM 212-209-2950. Thank you for calling and for pledging. And please take this opportunity to get this material and share it with everybody you know. It breaks my heart that Trayvon Martin did not hear the voices of Fountain Hughes. So call now at 212-209-2950. Thank you for calling and pledging.
Hi, my name is Mofi, and I often tune in to WBAI 99.5 FM. When I visit my family back home in Bangladesh, I listen online at wbai.org. Ami Mofi, apnar shunchen FM 99.5 WBAI. Jokhon ami Bangladesh amar poribar sathe dekha korte jai, tokhon ami WBAI shunte pai online wbai.org te.
Welcome to Sojourner Truth. Thank you for staying with us. This is your host, Margaret Prescott, and we are continuing our coverage of slavery in these United States, but also slave uprisings.
I want to ask you what part of the country you come from.
I originate from Canada. I guess where that is.
Well, I know where Canada is. I've been there myself.
Well, travel for a slave.
Solomon Northup is an expert player on the violin.
I was born a free man, lived with my family in New York.
Be good for your mother.
Till the day I was deceived.
To Solomon.
Kidnapped. Sold into slavery.
Well, boy, how you feel now?
My name is Solomon Northup. I'm a free man.
And you have no right whatsoever to detain me.
You're no free man. You're nothing but a Georgia runaway.
Went down to the river Jordan.
And that servant
that don't obey his lord
shall be beaten
with many stripes.
That's scripture. The condition of your laborers, it's all wrong.
They're my property.
You say that with pride.
I say it as fact.
Speak!
Man does how he pleases with his property.
You come here.
Master Atlas.
I say come here!
Days ago, I was with my family in my home. Now you tell me all is lost.
If you want to survive, do and say as little as possible.
Well, I don't want to survive. I want to live.
You know something?
I did as instructed. There's something wrong. It's wrong with the instruction.
Master brought you here to work. Any more, I'll earn you 100 lashes.
I know what it's like to be the object of Master's lashes.
No!
In his own time, good Lord will manage them all.
I will survive. I will not fall into despair. I will keep myself hardy till freedom is opportune.
From 12 years a slave to slave narratives to the largest slave revolt in U.S. history, described as one of the most suppressed and hidden stories of African American history, is the story of the 1811 slave revolt that took place in Louisiana, beginning just outside New Orleans. We live in a global world. We're all interrelated. So on Sojourner Truth, we work to bring directly to you news and views on local, national, and international policies and stories that affect us all. And we draw out how those of us most impacted, women, communities of color, and other communities are responding. We discuss the interrelationship between art and politics. It also coincides with the WBAI fund drive. We need you to call throughout this hour at 212-209-2950 to say, you know what, I want to honor Chakwe Lumumba. I want to pledge to support WBAI in the memory of Trayvon Martin, in the memory of any loved one that you have. We've got a goal of $3,000 for this hour. We have an amazing collection of thank you gifts, including for the very first time that we're offering on WBAI the voices of former slaves. We have it on CD. We've packaged it with that rare, hard-to-find book on to New Orleans about the largest slave revolt in U.S. history. The story has been suppressed, and you could go figure out why. All right. I don't know if any of you who know students, you could ask them what they know about the slave revolt of 1811. So call us throughout the hour at 212-209-2950. But we are also offering as a thank you gift the African Americans, Many Rivers to Cross. It's a two DVD set with Harvard professor Henry Louis Gates. It takes us all the way from the slave days through the civil rights period to the present day period. It's a two DVD set. The pledge level is $150 on its own. But we are also offering the Hidden History of Slave Revolts Dollar a Day pack that will include On to New Orleans, that hard-to-find book. It will include the CD of the voices of those who were former slaves. These aren't actors. These were people who were actually enslaved. And the African Americans, Many Rivers to Cross DVD. Also, Toussaint L'Ouverture, a book by C.L.R. James. You know, it's a brand new book, and it is actually a play that was performed in 1936 at London's Westminster Theater with a cast that included the star Paul Robeson, the U.S. star Paul Robeson, and it marked the first time black professional actors starred on the British stage in a play written by a black playwright. And then guess what? The whole script was lost, and it was found not that long ago, and now out to you as a book. We're offering it up as a thank you gift on its own. The pledge level is $140 for that. So call and say, I want to support WBAI. I want to get this material and share it with everybody I know. Call 212-209-2950. Now, historians are pretty much, well, not all of them, okay? But the case is being made that there could be no capitalist development without slavery, without the slave trade on both sides of the Atlantic. So I want to play now a clip from the African Americans' Many Rivers to Cross to really set the context for what we are going to be discussing today. It's from Henry Louis Gates' two DVD set, and it talks about cotton and black folks and the South.
What made cotton so desirable? A perfect storm. In the 1790s, America's oldest crops like tobacco were depleting farmland and dropping in value. At the same time, the textile industry in Great Britain was exploding, creating enormous international demand for cotton clothing. Eli Whitney's gin merely provided the motor for a global economic machine, and slavery was its fuel.
Everybody was getting a piece of it. All these northern bankers and marketing people, folks who owned the ships that transported the cotton, everybody was getting a piece of the pie.
Cotton utterly transformed the United States, making fertile land from Georgia to Texas extraordinarily valuable. The fact that Native Americans lived on these lands was a temporary inconvenience, solved by a policy of Indian removal. The massive replacement of Native populations with slave plantations. It's a part of our troubled history that can still be seen from the air.
If we were flying over this prior to European settlement, we would have seen large fields of corn and beans, trees and squash. When the first English began moving in here, they began chopping down the trees and expanding the fields available for cotton.
The enormous profitability of cotton undermined the principles of the American Revolution and forever altered black life. The more money the planters made from growing cotton, the more cotton the planters wanted to grow, and that took more slaves. Slaves in the Upper South became incredibly more valuable as commodities because of this demand for them in the Deep South. They were sold off in droves, and that created a second middle passage. And in many ways, the second middle passage was just as devastating as the first. To feed King Cotton, more than 1 million African Americans were carried off into the Deep South. That's 2.5 times the number that were brought to the United States from Africa. It was the largest forced migration in American history.
The number to call is 212-209-2950. That was a clip from the brilliant Henry Louis Gates. We are offering up his two DVD set up, the African Americans' Many Rivers to Cross DVD. And there he sets the context for the entire discussion on slavery. The number to call is 212-209-2950. This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth here, asking you to call and support WBAI 99.5 FM. WBAI, an institution in New York City that must remain viable, that must remain on the air. For those of you who could call and pledge at the 150 level, we will send you this two DVD set that takes us from the slave days through the civil rights period to what is happening today. Again, that number is 212-209-2950. You know, the widow of C.L.R. James, and we're offering Toussaint Louverture one of C.L.R. James's book today. One of the things she said is that if we want to rid ourselves of the racism that is institutionalized in every pore of our relationship, every pore of society, one important way forward lies through another look at who the slaves were and who their descendants are and what they are trying to do even now. You know, the film 12 Years a Slave, it's won all kinds of awards, and that's a, you know, it's a good thing. A lot of people went to see that film of every race across this nation. Also, over in Europe, in the UK, people are going to see that film, and it really puts the human face on what happened during slavery, the torture, the horrors of slave trade. It's one thing to read about it, and it's yet another thing to see it. But a lot of people who saw that film says, you know what, it's a great film, but how come we don't know that much about slave revolts and the kinds of rebellions that happened? Because a lot of that history is suppressed. And that's one of the reasons that in addition to the African Americans, Many Rivers to Cross DVD, we are also bringing you the On to New Orleans pack. And what's in that pack? You will get a book and you will get a CD. The book is the rare gem, Albert Thrasher's book, telling us the story of the largest slave uprising in U.S. history, one of the most suppressed and hidden stories of African and African American history, is the story of the 1811 slave revolt right close to New Orleans. The aim of the revolt was the establishment of an independent republic, a black republic. Over 500 Africans from 50 different nations with 50 different languages would wage war against U.S. troops and territorial militias. Now, this is not common knowledge. All righty. So call us at 212-209-2950 and get this material. But for a pledge at the 150 level, we will not only send you this rare, practically impossible to find. I know I had a real hard time finding it, but we will also throw in a CD of the voices of those who were slaves. I mean, I just think that everybody should hear these voices. It's one thing to read the slave narratives. It's one thing to see an actor playing a slave. It's quite another to actually hear the voice of someone who was actually enslaved. The number to call is 212-209-2950, and we will send you the CD and we will send you the book. We could also send you the African Americans, Many Rivers to Cross, Toussaint Louverture, the book by C.L.R. James. Now, here's the deal. I need to raise $3,000 this hour to help to keep WBAI on the air, help to keep WBAI viable. 212-209-2950. So I need 20 of you calling and pledging at the 150 level. That's $12.50 a month, people. And you help to keep WBAI on the air. And you also get these amazing thank you gifts and add-ons. The number to call is 212-209-2950. Now, the next clip that I'm going to play, really emotional. It is the voice of a man who was a slave. He's not an actor. He was a slave. And he's telling his story. The first time that we're premiering this today on WBAI, this is a must-have for everybody. I hope you get that. Because listening to this voice, it's like reaching back in time and touch those who went through unspeakable horrors to build up this country and build up Europe. Okay, and made the way for those of us. Let us honor them. Let us keep their voices alive. Call 212-209-2950. Let's go to a clip right now to hear the voice of a man who served as a slave.
Mother was a slave, sister was a slave, father was a slave. My father belonged to a Burnley. And Burnley died during the wartime. Because he was afraid he'd have to go to war. But now, you, and in them days, you could hire a substitute to take your place. Well, he couldn't get a substitute to take his place, so he ran away from home. And he took cold. And when he come back, war was over, but he died. Well, I don't know how. I don't know, tell you the truth. When I think of it today, I don't know how I'm living. None of the rest of them, as I know, are living. I'm the oldest one that I know that's living. But still, I'm thankful to the Lord. Now, if my master wanted to send me, he never said he couldn't get a horse and ride and walk, you know. Walk, you'd be barefooted, cold, but didn't make no difference. He wasn't no more than a dog, some of them days. He wasn't treated as good as he treats dogs now. But still, I don't like talking about it, because it makes people feel bad, you know. Well, I could say a whole lot I don't like saying. I won't say a whole lot anymore. I remember when the Yankees come along and took all the good horses and took all the, sort of all the meat and flour and sugar and stuff out in the river and let it go down the river. And they know the people wouldn't have nothing to live on, but they done that. And that's the reason why I don't like to talk about it. And people, and if you was cooking anything, eating that for yourself, and if they was hungry, they'd go and eat it all up, you wouldn't get nothing. They just come in and drink up all the milk. Just do as you please. And time to be passing by all night long, walking, mud, raining, all the hell of time. Colored people are free. You ought to be awful thankful. And some of them are sorry they are free now. Some of them now would rather be slaves.
Hmm. Which would you rather be, Uncle
Phil? Me? Which I'd rather be. You know what I'd rather do? If I thought, had any idea, that I'd ever be a slave again, I'd take a gun and just end it all right away. Because you're nothing but a dog. You're not a thing but a dog. Night never comes out. You have nothing to do. Time to cut tobacco. If they want you to cut all night long out in the field, you cut. And if they want you to hang all night long, you hang. Hang tobacco. It didn't matter about your tired, being tired, you're afraid to say you're tired.
An amazing thank you gift that we are offering you. That's the voice of Fountain Hughes, the man who served as a slave. He was a slave. Call us at 212-209-2950. I'm so proud to be bringing you this material on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. 212-209-2950. The pledge level at the 150 pledge level to pledge your support for WBAI. To keep WBAI on the air, we will send a thank you gift as your thank you gift, a CD of the voice of Fountain Hughes. He was born in 1848 or 1854. It's not sure, but he died only in 1957. It wasn't that long ago. He was born a slave in Charlottesville, Virginia, freed after the Civil War in 1865. The number is 212-209-2950. It is so emotional on this anniversary day that of the killing of Trayvon Martin, and also the recent passing of Chokwe Lumumba, the mayor of Jackson, Mississippi, who came out of the movement, the liberation, the Black liberation movement, the movement for human rights, who died suddenly, to be bringing you this material because it makes you think of all of those who have gone on before us, all of those who made the way for each and every one of us. And it hurts my heart that Trayvon died and he didn't hear the voice of Fountain Hughes. I didn't hear the voice of Fountain Hughes until very recently in trying to prepare this material for you. 212-209-2950. Who should not hear the voice? You know, listening to his voice, you hear so much in his voice. He talks about his mother, his sister, and his father were slaves. He talked about how, who they belonged to. He talked about how they were living. He talked about just being treated like a dog. All right. And then when asked if he thought he would ever be a slave again, he would take a gun and just end it right away. I mean, you know, for those of you who saw 12 Years a Slave, you know, that was the tip of the iceberg. This is a conversation that this country has got to face. The number is 212-209-2950. How can we come across the divides of race and economic background if we are not facing the reality of what happened, the impact that it had on people, on black people, on white people, on Native American people? The number to call is 212-209-2950. I want to hear a little bit about what Dr. Gerald Horn, the historian, has to say, because we are packaging the CD with the voices of those who were slaves, with the book On to New Orleans about the Louisiana's heroic 1811 slave revolt, that has been so suppressed. You hear practically nothing about it. Let's hear from Dr. Horn.
The connection between slavery and capitalism is well established. Eric Williams, Trinidad and Tobago, a former prime minister, in his book Slavery and Capitalism, put that point forward, as did Walter Rodney of Guyana, and how Europe underdeveloped Africa, not to mention Joseph Nnekori of Nigeria, now at the University of Rochester, whose prize-winning book a few years ago basically underscored that point. But I think the other takeaway is that these Africans who were involved in this revolt in 1811 in Louisiana, which you're featuring in terms of the Albert Thrasher book, you keep asking, understandably, why is this revolt so little known? I think part of the explanation is that the Africans repeatedly were trying to overthrow the U.S. government, overthrow state governments. And it becomes very difficult to put a heroic halo around the head of Thomas Jefferson and James Madison and Andrew Jackson and James Monroe and all the rest when we recognize that there were enslaved people who were seeking to overthrow them, not just run amok and act as marauders and killing people and the kind of stories that sometimes you hear, but actually trying to overthrow this government and establish a more democratic government. And I think that that's the legacy that has been bequeathed to us. How do we radically transform the government of the United States of America?
And the number to call is 212-209-2950. We are offering up the a CD with the voices of actual slaves, of those who were enslaved, and the rare and hard to find book On to New Orleans, one of the largest slave revolt in U.S. history, a story that has been suppressed. The pledge level is $150. You get to keep WBAI on the air. The number is 212-209-2950. I need at least 20 of you calling and pledging at the $150 level. That's $12.50 a month for the On to New Orleans pack, or for the African Americans Many Rivers to Cross DVD by Henry Louis Gates. Any of this material makes an amazing gift to someone. And you know, graduations are coming up, high school graduations, kids going off to college, perfect gift material. 212-209-2950. Call us at 212-209-2950. This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth, really pitching my heart out here, and really in a bit of an emotional state, because as many times as I have heard the voices of Fountain Hughes, who was a slave, it nevertheless just breaks my heart. And thinking back of my grandfather's father, a slave down in Barbados, all you folks from Barbados right now in New York City, all you Caribbean folks, 212-209-2950. In fact, the Bronx, Staten Island, New Jersey, Manhattan, Harlem, the South Bronx, Flushing, Jackson, out in Queens, please call 212-209-2950. Help us to preserve the voices of those who were slaves. Help us to get the story out about the largest slave uprising in U.S. history. 212-209-2950. I want to go on now to hear more from Fountain Hughes. He's not an actor. He's a man who was a slave. He was born in 1848 or 1854. He died in 1957. And he is telling us about his experience.
Were you ever sold?
No, I never was sold.
You always stayed with the same person?
I was too young to sell.
Oh, I see.
See, I wasn't old enough during the war to sell, during the Army. And my father got killed in the Army, you know, so it left us small children just to live on whatever people choose to give us. I was bound out for $1 a month, and my mother used to collect the money. Children couldn't spend money when I come along. In fact, when I come along, young men couldn't spend no money until they were 21 years old. And then you're 21, well, then you could spend your money. But if you wasn't 21, you couldn't spend no money. I couldn't spend 10 cents if somebody gave it to me. Of course, they'd think, well, you might have stole it. We all come along, you might say, we had to give an account of what you done. You couldn't just do things and walk off and say, I didn't do it. You'd have to give an account of it. Now, after we got freed and they turned us out like cattle, we didn't have nowhere to go. And we didn't have nobody to boss us. And we didn't know nothing. And there wasn't no school. And when they started the little school, people that were slaves, couldn't many of them go to school, except they had a father and a mother. And my father was dead, and my mother was living. But she had 3-4 other little children. She had to put them all to work to help take care of the others. So we had what you call worse than dogs have got it now. The dogs have got it now better than we had it when we come along. I know, I remember one night I was out after I was free and I didn't have nowhere to go. I didn't have nowhere to sleep. I didn't know what to do. My brother and I was together. So we knew a man that had a living stable. And we crept in that yard and got in one of the hacks of the automobile and slept in that hack all night long. So next morning, we could get out and go where we belonged. But we were afraid to go at night because we didn't know where to go and didn't know what time to go. But we got away from there and we were afraid to go back. So we kept slipping that thing all night until the next morning, and we got back where we belonged before the people got up. As soon as the day commenced to come on break, we got out and commenced to go where we belonged. But we never done that but the one time. After that, we always, if it was away, we'd try to get back before night come. But then that was on a Sunday, too, that we done that. Now, when we were slaves, we couldn't do that, see? Mm-hmm. And if we got free, we didn't know nothing to do. And my mother, she hunted places and bound us out for $1 a month. We stayed there maybe a couple of years. She'd come over and collect the money every month. And $1 was worth more then than $10 is now. And the men used to work for $10 a month, $120 a year used to hire that way. Now you can't get a man for $50 a month. If you pay a man now $50 a month, you don't want to work for it.
More like $50 a week nowadays.
Well, that's just it, exactly. They want $50 a week, and they ain't got no more now, and we had then. We had nowhere, nothing. We didn't have nothing on it. Just ledge of cattle just turned out and get along the best you could.
The number to call is 212-209-2950. How could you not be moved from the voice of Fountain Hughes? He died back in 1957. He's not an actor, but he was a slave. His mother, his sister, his father were slaves. And he, fortunately for him, he was never sold. He was able to stay with his mom. His father was killed. They lived as they could. He says after the Emancipation Proclamation, after they were freed, they were turned out like cattle, okay, with nothing. Forget the 40 acres and a mule. Whatever happened to that? The number to call is 212-209-2950. Pledge at the 150 level, and we would send you this moving, this precious, and it is precious, CD of the voice of Fountain Hughes, along with On to New Orleans, Albert Thrasher's brilliant book that has been so suppressed, of the largest slave revolt that happened in U.S. history. You know, they always like to portray slaves as victims. Well, yes, our ancestors certainly were victims, but they also rose up on a regular basis. And this heroic 1811 slave revolt book is very, very difficult to find. It's a full of information. It tells you about the lead up to that slave revolt, the revolt itself, the leaders of the revolt. The number is 212-209-2950. If we don't preserve this history, who's going to do it? The state of Texas that wants to take the words slave trade out of textbooks? 212-209-2950. And I just need, we're getting close to the top of the hour. And you know what? I need six kind-hearted people, six angels out there who know the pain in the voice, who heard the pain in the voice of this man who was a slave, to say, I'm going to get this material and I'm going to share it with schools. I'm going to share it with my church. I'm going to share it with my synagogue. I'm going to share it with my mosque, you know, or maybe I'm going to send it to the White House for those two little girls, those two young women are up in there. 212-209-2950. Let not their suffering be in vain. Let not what Fountain Hughes went through be in vain. Let his voice not be silenced. 212-209-2950. My heart is full just listening to this. I get chills every time I hear his voice, because you know what? It's like going back in time. And it is like standing with our ancestors. 212-209-2950. Went through unspeakable horrors. In the slave revolt, so many people were killed as a result. You know, the army came in, the militia came in that slave revolt in New Orleans. They burnt people alive. They cut their heads off and put them on stakes as you enter the city of New Orleans so you could see it. Because they can't have that. They can't have a slave uprising, a victorious uprising like happened in Haiti. The leaders of this slave rebellion in New Orleans were Haitians. 212-209-2950. I want to make a last call during this hour for this material right now. And I want to tell you what else we're offering. The On to New Orleans, Louisiana's heroic 1811 slave revolt, along with this CD that brings tears to my eyes as I'm listening to the voice of a man who was a slave. 150 level. The African Americans, Many Rivers to Cross, the two DVD set. African professor, Harvard professor Henry Louis Gates, from the days of slavery all the way up to the present day. Toussaint Louverture, a leader of the Haitian Revolution, the only successful slave revolt in history. which was presumed to be lost. This particular book was presumed to be lost until the rediscovery of a draft copy back in 2005. That was back from 1936, the thing was lost. We're offering it to you today as part of our pack. All of these items are available on their own, people. But for us to meet our goal for the hour, we need some of you saying, you know, I'm going to make a tax-deductible donation. I'm going to keep WBAI on the air. I'm going to support WBAI. And also important, I'm going to preserve these stories. I am going to spread this history. I'm going to preserve these voices. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. I want to play more from Fountain Hughes, but, you know, to tell you about him, he was a grandson of Wormley Hughes and Ursula Granger, the great-great-grandson of Betty Hemings, the slave matriarch at Monticello. Fountain Hughes, the man who was a slave, we're bringing you his voice, okay? So, yeah, I think we should go on to hear more from the next clip. But I also want to thank, though, Carol Moore out in Montclair, New Jersey is in the house. Jersey is in the house. 212-209-2950. Emmett Polk out in Springfield Gardens, New York. Emmett, thank you so very much for standing with those who gave so much so that we are here walking today. 212-209-2950. And yeah, we are going to go on to hear more from Fountain Hughes. But I want to get some more phone calls coming in because this is the last call for this material during this hour. We work really hard putting this together for you, the On to New Orleans Pack 150, along with the CD of the voices of actual slaves. The suppressed history not being taught in history books. I want to put a challenge out there for labor unions. Labor unions in the house, okay? You know how those enslaved were used against the workers in the factories in the North, white immigrants coming in, the Irish and the Italian. Pick up the phone, the Jewish people, 212-209-2950. It's about time that we cleared the air. It's about time that we learned what is being suppressed, the information being suppressed from us. And it's about time we honor those who were enslaved. It's all well and good. Everybody loves a celebrity, and you have some actors out there, the main actor, the lead actor in 12 Years a Slave. I think he should win. Okay, I'll put my cards out there for the Academy Award as well as that film. But you know what? They're all of the heroes that are not celebrities like Fountain Hughes. Let's hear more from Fountain Hughes, who was a slave, not an actor. He was a slave. But keep calling us at 212-209-2950.
My grandfather belonged to Thomas Jefferson. My grandfather was 115 years old when he died. And now I am 101 years old.
Who did you work for, Uncle Fountain, when...
Who did I work for?
Yeah.
You mean when I was a slave?
Yeah, when you were a slave, who did you work for?
Well, I belonged to Burnley's when I was a slave. My mother belonged to Burnley's. But we was all slave children. And soon after, when we found out that we were free, well, then we were bound out to different people, Thicklin, Andrews, and all such people as that, and we'd run away and wouldn't stay with them. Well, then we'd just go and stay anywhere we could, lay out at night and anywhere. We had no home, you know. We just turned out like a lot of cattle. You know how to turn the cattle out in the pasture? Well, after freedom, you know, colored people didn't have nothing. Colored people didn't have no beds when they were slaves. You don't slip on the floor. Tie it here, tie it there. just like a lot of wild people. We didn't know nothing. Didn't like to look in no book. And there were some pre-born colored people where they had little education, but there were very few of them where we was. And we all had a, what you call, I might call it now, jail sentence. We just same as we were in jail. Now I couldn't go from here across the street, or I couldn't go to nobody's house without I have a note or something from my master. And if I had that pass, I would really call a pass. If I had that pass, I could go wherever he sent me, and I'd have to be back. You know, when I, whoever he sent me to, they'd give me another pass, and I'd bring that back, so it's to show how long I'd been gone. We couldn't go and stay an hour or 2 hours or something like to send you. Now, say, for instance, I go to the Shirley's place, I'd have to walk, and I'd have to be back maybe an hour. Maybe they'd give me an hour. I don't know just how long they'd give me. But they'd give me a note so it wouldn't nobody interfere with me and tell who I belonged to. And when I come back, boy, I'd carry it to my master and give that to him. That'd be all right. But I couldn't just walk away like the people just now, you know. It's what they call, we were slaves. We belonged to people. They sell us like they sell horses and cows and hogs and all like that. Have an auction bench and they put you on a, up on the bench and bid on you, the same as you're bidding on cattle, you know.
Was that in Charlotte that you were a slave?
Hmm?
Was that in Charlotte or Charlottesville?
That was in Charlottesville.
Charlottesville, Virginia.
Selling women, selling men. All that. And then if they had any bad ones, they'd sell them to the nigger traders, what they call the nigger traders, and they'd ship them down south and sell them down south. But otherwise, if you were a good person, they wouldn't sell you. But if you were bad and mean, they didn't want to beat you and knock you around, they'd sell you to the what they call a nigger trader. They'd have a regular, have a sale every month, you know, at the courthouse. And then they'd sell you, maybe $200, $100, $500.
Fountain Hughes, who was a slave, describing what life was like. They'd sell you for $100, $200, $500. That is not an actor speaking. That is Fountain Hughes, born back in somewhere around 1848 or 1854, died back in 1957. The number to call is 212-209-2950. I've got about a minute or so. We want to raise about another $1,000 in that minute. I know that you are going to want to get this CD. It comes along with the book, On to New Orleans, Louisiana's Heroic 1811 Slave Revolt, a very, very suppressed story in these United States. Well, let's tell the truth to the youth. We don't want to be lying to the youth anymore. Every young person needs to hear the voice of Fountain Hughes, to hear his story, to hear what happened to him. His grandfather belonged to Thomas Jefferson, one of the founding fathers of this country. He was a slave owner. George Washington was a slave owner, one of the founding fathers. They don't like to mention that when they talk about the founding fathers, but why lie about it? Everybody needs to know the truth. 212-209-2950. I gotta go, but you gotta call us at 212-209-2950. Pledge your support for 99.5 FM WBAI, New York City. This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth. Thank you for calling. Thank you for pledging. And keep calling us, 212-209-2950.
My name is Dan Ingram, and I'm a WBAI fan. They've always been, you know, the station that kicked butt and the station that said what you're not supposed to say because the people in power don't want to hear it. and I love that.
I have to celebrate you, baby.
You've been listening to Democracy Now! Here on WBAI. As we turn right now in the fundraising segment of today's broadcast to economist Manfred Maxneath. He's a Chilean economist who, together with Philip Smith, wrote the book Economics Unmasked, From Power and Greed to Compassion and the Common Good. He's developed a whole framework of barefoot economics, and I had a chance to sit down with him. He had gone to Bonn, Germany for a gathering of the Right Livelihood Award winners. He had won 2 decades ago, and I asked him to explain just what barefoot economics is.
Well, it's a metaphor, but a metaphor that originated in a concrete experience. I worked for about 10 years of my life in areas of extreme poverty, in the Sierras, in the jungle, in urban areas, in different parts of Latin America. And at the beginning of that period, I was one day in an Indian village in the Sierra in Peru. It was an ugly day, it had been raining all the time, and I was standing in the slum, and across me another guy also standing in the mud, not in the slum, in the mud, and we looked at each other, and this was a short guy, thin, hungry, jobless, 5 kids, a wife, and a grandmother. And I was the fine economist from Berkeley, teaching in Berkeley, having taught in Berkeley and so on. And we were looking at each other, and then suddenly I realized that I had nothing coherent to say to that man in those circumstances. That my whole language as an economist, you know, was absolutely useless. Should I tell him that he should be happy because the GDP had grown 5% or something? Everything was absurd. So I discovered that I had no language in that environment and that we had to invent a new language. And that's the origin of the metaphor of barefoot economics, which concretely means that it's the economics that an economist who dares to step into the mud must practice. The point is now that economists study and analyze poverty in the nice offices, have all the statistics, make all the models, and are convinced that they know everything that you can know about poverty, but they don't understand poverty. And that's the big problem. And that's why poverty is still there. And that changed my life as an economist completely. I invented a language that is coherent with those situations and conditions.
And what is that language? How do you apply economics or have those situations explain economics, change it?
Look, the thing is much deeper. I mean, it's not like a recipe typical of so many in your country, 15 lessons or satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. That's not the point. The point is much deeper. You know, let me put it this way. We have reached a point in our evolution in which we know a lot. We know a hell of a lot, but we understand very little. Never in human history has there been such an accumulation of knowledge like in the last 100 years. Look how we are. What was that knowledge for? What did we do with it? And the point is that knowledge alone is not enough, that we lack understanding. And the difference between knowledge and understanding, I can give it as an example. Let us assume that you have studied everything that you can study from a theological, sociological, anthropological, biological, and even biochemical point of view of a human phenomenon called love. So the result is that you will know everything that you can know about love. But sooner or later you will realize that you will never understand love unless you fall in love. What does that mean? That you can only attempt to understand that of which you become a part. If we fall in love, as the Latin song says, we are much more than two. No? When you belong, you understand. When you're separated, you can accumulate knowledge, and that is, has been the function of science. No? Science is divided into parts, but understanding is holistic. And that happens with poverty. I understood poverty because I was there. I lived with them, I ate with them, I slept with them, you know, etc. And then you begin to learn that in that environment there are different values, different principles from compared to those from where you are coming, and that you can learn an enormous amount of fantastic things among poverty. What I have learned from the poor is much more than I learned in the universities. But very few people have that experience, you see. They look it from the outside, instead of living it from the inside. And you learn extraordinary things. The first thing, you know, that people who want to work in order to overcome poverty and don't know, is that in poverty there is an enormous creativity. You cannot be an idiot if you want to survive. Every minute you have to be thinking, what next, what do I know, what trick can I do here, what's this, so your creativity is constant. In addition, I mean, that is combined, you know, with networks of cooperation, mutual aid, you know, and all sort of extraordinary things, which you no longer find in our dominant society, which is individualistic, greedy, egoistical, etc. It's just the opposite of that you find there. And it's sometimes so shocking that you may find people much happier in poverty than what you would find, you know, in your own environment. Which also means, you know, that poverty is not just a question of money. It's a much more complex thing.
How do you travel between the worlds? And when you're living in the communities where you've learned so much, what do those communities, people in those communities, ask you, want to know from you?
It may surprise you. I mean, they're not so interested in us, we are. We overestimate ourselves. And we believe, you know, that they want to be like us. And even more, when we go there, you know, we believe that they will overcome their problems when they look as much as possible as we look. They must be like us. And that's nonsense, see? I could give you lots of examples. For instance, what was the name of the program in the time of Kennedy, when young people went, you know, to all
Peace Corps?
The Peace Corps, yeah, okay. I was many times, I even taught Peace Corps groups, you know, in California and so on. And then I found them, you know, in the field when I was there. Lovely young people, you know, I mean, very well intentioned, you know. And situations like this. Well, there you have a woman, you know, making a poncho. No, but with another machine, I mean, instead of making two ponchos in 1 week, I mean, she could make 20 ponchos. You know? So, no, we will bring you a much better thing in Honduras. Okay, well, they bring it in, you know, and come back a few months later now to see, you know, the huge production of this woman. And how are you? I'm fine. No. How do you like the machine? Oh, very nice. And how many ponchos are you making? Well, two ponchos a week. But what do you mean you could make more? Well, but I don't need to make more. But why do you make just two? Well, and what is the machine then for? Well, I make two, but now I have much more time to be with my friends and with my kids. In our environment, you know, you have to do more and more and more and more. No. There, instead of making more, they have more time to enjoy themselves, to have a nice relationship with the friends, with family, etc. You see, lovely values which we have lost.
Mm-hmm. What do you think we need to change?
Oh, almost everything. We are simply dramatically stupid. We act systematically against the evidences we have. We know everything that should not be done. There's nobody that doesn't know that. Particularly the big politicians know exactly what should not be done. Yet they do it. Now, how do you change that? I don't know. I don't have the recipe. But that's the way it is. And that is the definition of stupidity. The stupid act is the act you commit against the evidences you have. Don't go through this alley because it's very dark and there's a hole in it and you may fall in. Ah, no, don't worry. And you were in a boom and you fall in it. That's stupidity. And that is our situation today in the world. After what happened since October 2008, I mean, elementary, you would think, well, now they're going to change. I mean, they see that the model is not working. The model is even poisonous, dramatically poisonous. And what is the result and what happened in the last meeting of the European Union? They are more fundamentalist now than before. So, the only thing you know that you can be sure of, that the next crisis is coming and it will be twice as much as this one, and for that one there won't be enough money anymore. So that will be it. And that is the consequence of systematical human stupidity. Now, why the hell are they so afraid to change when they know, you know, that this is an absolute collision? And instead of breaking, I mean, they accelerate, you know. I don't have a recipe against that, but I'm very afraid, you know, that what is still coming.
You've been listening to Manfred Maxneaf. He is the author of Economics Unmasked, From Power and Greed to Compassion and the Common Good, and we're making the book available to you, and you can't get it anywhere else, and it's quite amazing. And we also have a DVD of two conversations I've had with Manfred Maxneaf. One sit-down conversation we had in Bonn, Germany, and then this past Independence Day weekend, he was in Bogota, Colombia, for another gathering of the Right Livelihood Award winners, of which he won an award, several decades ago, when he first developed this theory of barefoot economics. And you get both sets of conversations on DVD for a $75 contribution. You know, you're listening on WBAI, which is radio, but we are also on television. As folks know, if you live in the five boroughs, you can watch us on CUNY TV every night at 6:30 and repeat it at 1. That's Channel 75 Time Warner, Channel 30 on Verizon Fios. Manfred Maxneaf, the DVD I have of the two interviews we've done, the Chilean economist who really developed this whole metaphor, this whole framework of barefoot economics. We urge you to go to the phone right now and let us know that you're in the house, that you're standing up for independent media. For a contribution of $120, you can get his book. It's not easy to get. We have it here. We're thrilled to be able to offer it to you for a $120 contribution or $10 a month. Put them together, book and DVD, the two conversations on DVD, and the book, Economics Unmasked, for a contribution of $150 or $12.50 a month. Think about this. Think about the holidays that are coming up. Gifts of meaning that you want to give someone. Please make your call. That number again, 516-620-3602. That's 516-620-3602. Your call makes it possible for Democracy Now! To happen right here on WBAI. Your money goes directly to WBAI to ensure that it can pay the rent of the transmitter on top of the Empire State Building that it's had to do for, to say the least, decades. but it costs like more than $40,000 a month, and we need your support to ensure that WBAI continues to broadcast part of the Pacifica network, which's moving into its 65th year. We've got to keep the tradition of WBAI alive, corporate free, listener supported. It's yours, and in order to keep it yours, you have to support it. We ask you, please go to the phone right now. Let us know you're in the house. Let us know you're standing up for independent media. Your call counts. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. As Manfred Max Neef talks about the U.S. fast becoming an underdeveloping nation, we ask you to make the call that makes it possible for WBAI to happen. 516-620-3602. When I asked Manfred Max Neef, you know, to talk about barefoot economics, he said it's a metaphor, but a metaphor that originates in concrete experience. He said, I worked for 10 years of my life in areas of extreme poverty in the Sierras, in the jungle, in urban parts of different parts of Latin America. At the beginning of that period, I was one day in an Indian village in the Sierras in Peru. He said it was an ugly day. It had been raining all the time, and I was standing there in the mud, another guy standing across from me, and well, we looked at each other. This was a short guy, thin, hungry, jobless, five kids, a wife and a grandmother to support. I was this fine economist from Berkeley, teaching in Berkeley. We looked at each other, and suddenly I realized I had nothing coherent to say to that man in those circumstances, that my whole language as an economist was absolutely useless. Should I tell him he should be happy because the GDP had grown 5%? Everything was absurd, said Manfred Max Neef. So he says, I discovered I had no language in that environment, that we had to invent a new language, and that's the origin of the metaphor of barefoot economics, which concretely means that's the economics an economist who dares to step into the mud must practice. The point is, he says, economists study and analyze poverty in their nice offices, have all the models and statistics, are convinced they know everything about poverty, but you can't understand it. And that's why poverty is still there. He said, that changed my life as an economist completely. We urge you to go to the phone right now. And then he lays it out. He held forth. He was a reluctant interviewee. He did not want to be interviewed. But when we actually sat down, he just held forth in explaining his theory about barefoot economics. He says the economic system under which we live not only forces the great majority of humankind to live their lives in indignity and poverty, but also threatens all forms of life on Earth. Economics Unmasked, the book, presents a cogent critique of the dominant economic system, showing the theoretical constructions of mainstream economics work mainly to bring about injustice. We urge you to go to the phone right now. Book, which you can get nowhere else, is yours for a contribution of $120. The DVD of our two conversations, yours for $75, and it's just fascinating to sit with him. And that's what you get to watch when you get the DVD. Double DVD, $75, and you're supporting WBAI at the same time. We urge you to make the call that makes it possible for WBAI to continue. Please phone in. That number again, the number to call is 516-620-3602. That's 516-620-3602. Make your call right now. We urge you to go to the phone. We ask you to stand up for independent media. Your call makes it all possible. Your call makes it possible for WBAI to happen. Oh, and if you want to come to the set of Democracy Now! And watch the broadcast, we're in the Chelsea neighborhood of Manhattan. You can come to the set, sit on the set, watch the broadcast, meet the guests who are in studio. Today, you had been hanging out with William Hartung. You know, you hear a part of the show during Fundraising Drive, but our whole show, you get to experience, to say the least. And you get to bring someone with you, maybe your partner or a daughter, a son, a friend, a father, a mother, an aunt, an uncle. And you both sit here and we ply you with organic fair trade coffee or tea, muffins, bagels, whatever you would like. And you meet the team that makes Democracy Now! Happen, the guests in studio, and then I personally get to host you for dinner. And it is such an honor to be able to do that. I'm doing it tomorrow night, Thursday night. I'm doing it Monday night. I'm doing it Tuesday night. I'm giving some talks in Los Angeles this weekend, but back to do dinners and a show. And if you would like to do this, I've done it with so many WBAI listeners. It's a $2,000 contribution that goes directly to keeping WBAI alive. We've got to keep it alive. We urge you to go to the phone. We ask you to stand up for independent media. The number to call is 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602. Your call makes WBAI happen. We urge you to be there. We ask you to stand up. We cannot do this without you. Now, if you make that $2,000 contribution that goes to WBAI, that'll pay for the transmitter, the rent on the transmitter each month. You know, that bill doesn't go away. It's not like you pay for it and it's over. We have to raise it each month to be able to broadcast in New York, in New Jersey, in Pennsylvania, in Connecticut. We urge you to call right now. If you live in Hempstead or Brightwaters or Bayshore, if you live in Long Island, anywhere, if you live in Brentwood or Roslyn Heights or Freeport or Amityville, if you live in Great Neck or Little Neck, we're asking you to stick your neck out for WBAI, and that does not leave New York City off the hook. If you live in Harlem or Hell's Kitchen, if you live in the Upper East Side or you live in East Harlem, we're asking you to make the call that makes a difference. Washington Heights, bring WBAI to new heights and keep it high above the Empire State Building. If you live in Williamsburg or Park Slope or Brooklyn Heights or Crown Heights, make the call that makes a difference. New Jersey, please call. Pennsylvania, we need your support. Get Philip B. Smith and Manfred Mack's Neef book, which you can only get here. $120 contribution, Economics Unmasked. If you want to get the DVD, it's $75. Put them together, $150. Please make your call right now, 516-620-3602. About dinner and a show. You come to the set of Democracy Now! You watch the broadcast with your special guest. Think birthdays, maybe your anniversary, and you want to bring your partner. Maybe it's a birthday. Maybe it's a holiday gift you want to give, an unusual holiday gift. It's a dinner and a show. The show is Democracy Now! On the set live. A couple weeks ago, Pete Seeger came in, was here for the hour, and folks hung out with Pete. We had Questlove in, Amir Thompson, the great musician, who is the band leader and Jimmy Fallon's, of Roots, and Jimmy Fallon's late night band, which is soon to be The Tonight Show, came in for an hour and hung out with us. Who knows who will be here when you're here? Maybe Harry Belafonte, who knows? But what I can say, Jeremy Scahill, who was just on NPR this morning, often on Democracy Now!, you'll have an amazing time here. You get to meet the guests who are in studio, and then I personally get to host you for dinner, you and your special guest. And we kick back and we break bread together and we toast WBAI. If you could possibly afford that, it's a $2,000 contribution. I know that's a whopper of a contribution. It's exactly why WBAI needs it, to stay alive. But that contribution, at least know that it's a tax-deductible charitable contribution. We urge you to call 516-620-3602. Oh, and another thing. You don't have to know when you can do this. Just make the pledge. Say, I'm making a reservation for dinner and a show. That's the only thing you say when you call. Then my colleague Brenda gives you a call and says, when do you want to come to New York? You want to come next week? You want to come next month, next season? We urge you to call right now. You might say, I have no idea right now. I have no idea when I'm going to get there to Democracy Now! And when I invite my friend or my partner or my daughter or my son. So you'll call back or you'll email Brenda. You'll be part of the Friend of Brenda Club. And when you get here, I can't wait to host you and tour you through the greenest internet TV radio studio in the country. We urge you to call 516-620-3602. That's 516-620-3602. Make the call that makes WBAI possible. Phone in. Let us know that you're there. Let us know that you're standing up for independent media. We cannot do this without you. Only together, only with you, your call makes WBAI happen. Please phone in. We need your support. We ask you to stand up. Either $2,000 or if you want to get, pledge $25. You get a Democracy Now! Bumper sticker. It's a fire engine red. It's got the Statue of Liberty, her torture microphone. We urge you to call in right now. Your call makes WBAI happen. We ask you to stand up for independent media. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Your call counts. Go to the phone. Let us know you're in the house. Let us know you're standing up for independent media. We cannot do this without you. Only with you. Only together. 516-620-3602. If you want to pledge for the double DVD with two conversations with Manfred Max Neef as he talks about understanding barefoot economics. Pledge $75. If you want the book, $120. Together, $150. Get two books. You know, you've got, or two packs, the Manfred Max Neef pack. And you can give books for the holidays, give DVDs for the holidays. As Manfred Max Neef says, the merciless onslaught on the global ecosystem of recent decades, brought about by the massive increase in the production of goods and the consequent depletion of nature's reserves, is not a chance property of the economic system. It's a direct result of neoliberal economic thinking, which recognizes value only in material things. The growth obsession is not a mistaken conception that mainstream economists can unlearn. It's inherent in their view of life. But a socioeconomic system based on the growth obsession can never be sustainable, he says. The book outlines the foundations of a new economics where justice, human dignity, compassion, and reverence for life are the guiding values. Contrary to the absurd assumption of mainstream economists that economics is a value-free science, a new economics must make its values explicit. We urge you to call. We ask you to stand up for independent media. We cannot do this without you. Only together, your call makes a difference. You make it possible. Fill the phone lines, folks. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Let us know you're there. Let us know you're standing up for independent media. Your call counts. 516-620-3602. And pledge what you can. We need your support. We ask you to be there. We ask you to stand up. Your call makes WBAI happen. Economics Unmasked, the book and DVD, Manfred Max Neef Pack, is yours for $150 or $12.50 a month. Or pledge $75 and get the DVD. $120, get the book. Together, $150. We urge you to call 516-620-3602. Your call is the lifeline. You can pledge $50. Just be a member. Support your station. We ask you to call right now. Please make sure, WBAI, that it is a home for so many to listen to from not only New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, New York, but all over the world at WBAI.org. Corporate free, listener supported. That is what you are supporting. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. We need your support. We ask you to be there. We cannot do this without you. Only together, only with you. Your call makes a difference. 516-620-3602. The DVD, yours, of Manfred Max Neef, the Chilean economist talking about barefoot economics. As Molly Scott Cato, reader in Green Economics at the Cardiff School of Management, said, an inspiring statement that there's an alternative to the hollow dream of globalization. The authors provide a long overdue account of how economics came to dominate modern life and how the market came to dominate the economy. This is a story about power and injustice, which is a necessary preliminary to any attempt to bring about social justice or environmental balance. We urge you to go to the phone right now, 516-620-3602. Make the call that makes WBAI happen. And if you want to come to the set of Democracy Now! And watch the broadcast, sit on the set, bring a special guest, watch the broadcast in the morning live, you and your special guest, drink in Democracy Now! With fair trade organic coffee and tea, muffins and bagels, tour the studio, meet the guests in studio, meet the team that makes Democracy Now! Happen, and then I personally host you for dinner. Please call right now. Please let us know that you're in the house, that you're standing up for independent media. We cannot do this without you. Only together. Fill these phone lines, 516-620-3602. If you want to come here, and then I host you for dinner, and we kick back and break bread together and toast WBAI, and I get to hear your stories, and we become old friends fast. That is a $2,000 tax-deductible charitable contribution. Just make the contribution. You don't have to know when you can actually come to Democracy Now! Brenda, my colleague, will call you in a few days and say, when do you want to do this? Next week, next month, next season? You might say, I have no idea. You might tell her a date, and I can't wait to see you here when you seal the deal and work it out with Brenda. I can't wait to host you here. Please call. Just about out of time. 516-620-3602. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
I'm keeping my eyes on you. I bet you think I don't know nothing but singing the
And our guest today is Dr. Gwen Scott, a naturopathic doctor and former CNN news anchor. Dr. Scott is a master herbalist who has studied with the prominent alternative medicine practitioner, Dr. Deepak Chopra. And she has also studied with traditional healers in the Latino, Hispanic, and Native American communities. Today we have a must-have 3-DVD set in which Dr. Scott offers simple and easy natural remedies for some very common ailments. So if you'd like to learn how to stop a cold or flu in its tracks, cure an earache, eliminate scars, or make your own rescue remedies, this is something that you're going to want to have. Welcome, Dr. Scott.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's so good to be talking to you. When you see articles or specials about irradiation, one of the things that the mainstream media says is that irradiation is harmless, and that in scientific studies, if you compare non-irradiated food to irradiated food, that it's the same, it has the same value, the same molecular structure. Many people don't buy it and are, you know, we're not consuming food that was labeled irradiated when these things were first coming out. And so obviously they've gone back to the drawing board on forcing their consumers. But really, what happens to food? What is irradiation, and what happens to food when it's irradiated?
Well, you know, you don't have to be a nuclear rocket scientist, mm-hmm. surgeon, to figure out that radiation,
mm-hmm.
We use it to kill things.
Mm.
Period. And when these nutrients in our foods, the enzymes, the vitamins and minerals, are very delicate. And then microwaving is the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we embraced that technology because it got things on the table more quickly, but now we're looking at physicists and all kinds of scientists saying, you know, it's so... rearranges the molecular structure that your body, and it's perhaps one of the reasons Americans are struggling with weight like they are. And one physicist called it food wad. He said, you know, it may look like broccoli or whatever, but when it goes into your system, your body doesn't know what it is because it's been so molecularly changed and altered.
Mm.
So it sort of stores it, as he called it, food wad or fat.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen this where, Natalie, I've asked people, just tape your microwave closed for a month,
mm-hmm.
and see how your weight does. And they all report, in varying degrees, weight loss.
And this is because of the way the molecular structure of the food has changed from either radiation by irradiating food or the radiation from a microwave?
Exactly. They're different. They're different.
Mm-hmm.
But they all essentially do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Which
zap,
is
and we use the word zap,
mm-hmm.
nuke. Somewhere deep inside of us, we know this is not the way we want to do our foods. And to me, the most important aspect of this is choice. We should have a choice. If we want organic foods unmolested, we should be able to get them. We should not have it mandated to us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you can grow your own, that's the way to go. If you know a local organic farmer, but most people don't, they go to the health food store and depend on those folks, you know, to bring their fruits and vegetables in a fairly clean, non-chemical, non-altered whole food state.
Mm-hmm.
And this will change that dramatically.
The Natural Medicine Survivor's Guide 3-DVD set, and it really shows us the value in something like this, because for so many of us who, well, there's several aspects. One, when you think about laws like the Food Safety Modernization Act and facing limited choices, less choices, it becomes more essential to know how to take care of yourself naturally. It becomes more clear why something like a Survivor's Guide to Natural Medicine is important for people. And so, you know, I'm sure that you started putting this together before things like food safety modernization were on the horizon, just out of wanting to share what you know and what you understand, what you see people need as a practitioner. But times have changed, and this is now actually becoming critical and coveted, and maybe even one day contraband information that you've put together here in the Natural Medicine Survivor's Guide.
Yeah, you know, I had what they say, rumors of war. I saw this happening, and I was hearing rumors from other countries, and I could see what was happening in this country, the systematic removal of all of our freedoms that we so cherish. And, of course, in my end of the world, that means natural medicines and herbs and good food. And so I had spent 30 years really working, as you said in the introduction, with all of these. And I don't want to forget the African-American community either, because I spent a good time in the Mississippi Delta working with some very old healers there. And what I've tried to do is go back to the basics, find things that are available to everyone that cost pennies. I hate elitist medicine. It's sacred. It wasn't ever meant to be a cash cow. And that did the job and did no harm. And I would say at this point, Natalie, anytime we do anything new in our healthcare regimen, we should be working with a practitioner. I mean, that's just the way we should be doing it, especially if we're taking any over-the-counter pharmaceutical drugs, because even the most benign herb will contraindicate with some of these drugs. So the pharmacist is your point person.
Mm-hmm.
They know which ones contraindicate with what herbs and supplements. An example, if you're on heart meds, most of them you should not even get near grapefruit, which is a pretty nutritious, benign thing. But when combined with this drug, causes problems. So always, no matter what, work with a healthcare, professional healthcare practitioner. I have to say that because it's really true. I put this together from my heart and soul because I did feel these days were coming, I'm sad to say, and that people would be a bit lost if most people in this country got into natural or alternative, it's called, medicine. Once everything was up and running, prepackaged, pre-prepared, go to the health store, it's all there for you. There are books, you know. But what happens if that all goes away? Where are the roots? Well, that's what I've spent 30 years doing, is finding the roots to all of these prepackaged, pre-prepared, nicely presented. But if they go away, what would you do? You wouldn't know. So that's what this DVD, it's over 4 hours. You know, I was laughing once, I thought, War and Peace. I didn't realize when I started it would be so much information. I didn't realize.
It's phenomenal. It really is. I mean, I'm really impressed. I've gone through the DVDs, and you packed so much information in here. And as I was watching, I was thinking, you know, I'm a trained herbalist, and I've also managed a holistic healthcare center. And so when I first saw the set, I thought, okay, you know, you see so many materials, new books, new box sets, and half the time they really don't have that much to offer. Or you cringe when you hear the things that they're sharing with people. And so I did not have high expectations when I popped in the DVDs. And I kept saying as I watched you and listened to you, I was like, that's right on point. This is exactly the kind of stuff that I love sharing, especially when I was a practicing herbalist, seeing clients. You know, I also called it kitchen medicine, and I also called it grocery store medicine. But the stuff that I love to share with people is the stuff that you can either roll right out into your yard and pick, or for those of us who don't have a lot of access to land, we can roll right into the grocery store, go to the produce aisle where the herbs and the roots are, and pick so much medicine. And I remember when I would share that with people, because one of the things that puts people off sometimes about natural medicine is that it's become a commodity, a very pricey commodity. And so a lot of times people just don't even get started because they think, oh, I don't have any more money to spend on, you know, going and buying these supplements and these herbs, and, you know, I'll just stick with what I've got going. And the great thing about kitchen medicine and grocery store medicine and garden medicine is that, like you said, it's pennies on the dollar, it's very accessible, it's very simple, and it's incredibly empowering. You know, when you are, you know, in a bind, you feel a virus coming on, and instead of, you know, having to go down to the drugstore and part with, you know, $10-$15 for something over the counter or even more, if it's a prescription, when you can go into the grocery store and for a few dollars you know, buy an herb or a root and take it home and make a tincture or a tea or an oil extraction, and you're better, you know, you feel yourself getting better right when you start to take it. That feeling of not only, you know, am I getting better on my own, but it's, I'm getting better naturally, I'm getting better with something from the earth. That whole combination is so empowering, and you don't have that drug hangover that you can sometimes have when you take these medications that make you drowsy or have side effects like, you know, your stomach hurts. You know, you have a new problem is often what happens is you trade one for another.
All drugs, whether they're pharmaceutical, over-the-counter prescription, have a toxic nature to them. And it's in varying degrees, some extremely toxic.
Well, and I also remember recently there was a whole scare with the children's versions of those kinds of medicines. Yeah. And I guess several children and infants had died from taking the children's version. And then all of a sudden there was this giant recall. And, you know, one week it was like, don't give them to your kids. The next week it was give these particular brands. And you think to yourself, okay, if you just told me that children are dying, why am I even going to go back from recall mode into, you know, this particular lot is safe? So I think that at this point, consumers feel like they want an alternative. They need sound information. They need something affordable. And that's what Natural Medicine, a Survivor's Guide, is giving us. So I just want to remind everybody that we are in Fund Drive and that Dr. Gwen Scott is the creator of Natural Medicine, a Survivor's Guide. It's a 3-DVD set that we're offering today for your pledge of $150. 4 hours of just pure education, but not just education, practical education. It's how to. She's not standing on a pedestal saying you should do this, you should do that. She's got her sleeves rolled up. She's right in front. She's got everything in front of her, all of the materials you need. She holds everything up for you. You can see it clearly in the DVD. And she shows you, she walks you through the steps of how you can use this, the scenarios in which these items will help you. You know, there's emergency medicine, there's